Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
All right, welcome to Fathers of the Grind, episode 47. This is our last episode for the month for November. We're getting ready to head into December next, so it's going to get crazy as Game of the Year stuff kicks in. We'll talk a little bit about what we're doing next week as well, but it's been, I can't believe it's been 11 months of us doing the show, so thank you guys for listening, and thank you, Derek, for hanging out and chatting with me every week, even though sometimes it's better than others. And I do like, one thing I've learned about you, Derek, is that you're not afraid to say, hey, this episode kind of sucks. Right in the middle of the episode, you'll even say it. So,
yeah. So this episode probably is going to suck.
Yeah, you're already calling it. Thanks, buddy.
No problem.
So, again, my name is Tim Nestor. I'm here with Derek Teague, and we are happy to be a part of your weekly routine. I know some of you download every Sunday night, Monday morning, and listen on the way to work, or maybe while you're at work, depending on the type of job you have. So thanks for your support. Thanks for tuning in every week. So we got some exciting stuff coming up, but we're going to talk about all that in a minute. But first, Derek, I want to find out from you, what video games have you been playing over this past Thanksgiving week?
Well, I continued Mass Effect 2, although I wouldn't say I've slowed down, but I've kind of put it on the back burner as we get closer to a certain game that we're going to talk about soon. So I won't even bring it up because I'll just start talking about it. So I was like, maybe I should slow down because I got through Mass Effect in like 14 hours. It really didn't take long at all, and I was overpowered. I probably could have even pushed through faster if I would have just skipped more side stuff. But Mass Effect 2, I'm trying to get like the perfect ending or the good ending or whatever. And so I have to not only unlock all the characters, but I also have to do their side stuff. To get them to like me, and then I have to build up my ship. So I have to do like what I would consider in that game a lot of grinding, even though in JRPG it's not much grinding compared to like JRPGs. So I kind of slowed that one down, and I actually hopped back into Dishonored 2. And the reason I left it is because I liked it. I just got to a part where I was like, ugh. Like, I don't know. I think you know how I get, where I'll just run into something and I'm like, I don't even feel like figuring this out. And it's this is
that's why you
really
love that's why you love puzzle games so much, right?
Huh?
That's why you love puzzle games so much. You just love that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I'll talk about that in a second too. But I got to a part where you're going into this guy's mansion. Again, I won't mention his name or anything like that. But basically, his mansion is one big puzzle. It's just a puzzle. It shifts and all this stuff, everything. And I don't have a good sense of direction. So if I change something, I don't remember where I changed that, what changed, blah, blah, blah. I get confused. So once I got to that part, I was like intimidated by it. And I was like, I don't feel like doing this. I'd rather just play Mass Effect. Long story short, I've decided to come back. I got through that part pretty quickly. That was mission 4. I decided to go ahead and do mission 5. I got through that really fast. And I'm not like speeding through it. I'm actually running into the people I'm supposed to assassinate faster than I realized while still exploring. So I'm more than halfway through the game. So what I'm going to try to do, is Sunday and Monday, so today we're recording on Sunday, I'm going to try to push through and hopefully beat it. I don't think I'll be able to, but I'd like to before Tuesday.
Gotcha. Well, quick confession for me. I have played Mass Effect 1. It was so long ago, I barely remember it. So when you guys say names, like when we were on the NGR podcast, you guys were talking about names of characters. I was like, I forget which alien race that guy is, but I never did finish Mass Effect 2, and I've never even played at all Mass Effect 3. So I've played through the first one a long time ago.
Officially hate you.
2, I played some of it, and I did like it. I liked what they did with the combat. It's one of those things. Yeah. It was so long ago, I can't remember the reason for not finishing it. I couldn't tell you. I can't remember if I even owned it. Maybe I borrowed it.
It is, to me, a longer game because there's more. I think there's more characters. I'm just doing this off the top of my head. There's more characters, and then in order to not get a completely terrible ending or just might not even be able to finish the game if you don't do this good enough. You just have to do a lot of side stuff. So it does take longer. I can see why if somebody's not like completely into it.
Well, I do plan on trying to get through that whole trilogy before Andromeda. I do want to, just like I did with Gears of War, you know, kind of powering through the Gears of War games. I know these are more in depth, especially 2 and 3, than Gears of War 2 and 3. But I still feel like I can do it between now and, what is it, March, when Andromeda supposedly is going to be dropping?
Yeah, I think March 12th was like the leak date or something like that.
So that's a soft goal that I'm setting. We'll see if I get to it or not. But I really do want to play it. I want to be part of the conversation with Andromeda. So we'll see if I actually get to those or not.
I mean, technically, it's supposed to be separate from it. So it's not like you can't. And they did that intentionally. They want people that like you who haven't finished 2 or 3 or haven't played them at all to feel like they can just jump in.
But I'd still like to have the thing. I still like to have the foundation before I play that game. There's something to not only just
and
the story, but
the
gameplay as well. I want to be able to have that foundation. And I've already had three spoiled for me, at least some of the various outcomes that are there. But that's okay. I still wouldn't mind trying those games.
Well, but I don't know if we talked about it on this show, but here's the thing. A lot of people complain about Mass Effect 3's ending, so that's probably what you know about. And I kind of get it, but I'm not one of them that was upset. I actually kind of thought it was cool. They left a lot of question marks. I personally like question marks. I like for you to have to, like, think it through. And sometimes you just have to figure it out on your own, piece it together. But they did, the way they did the entire game of Mass Effect 3 was your ending. The entire game was your ending. It was your goodbye to characters. It was your goodbye to certain issues that you face in Mass Effect 1, or I should say your conclusion to certain issues that you face in Mass Effect 1 and 2. The entire game was the ending. That's how they formatted it, and it was done beautifully. The only thing people had a problem with is at the very, very end, they said, okay, here's your options, and then you change the color of the ending. But ultimately, nothing you did in previous games stops what's going to happen here. And my argument was always, but it's Shepard's story. This is how they wanted Shepard's story to end, not your story. So I get why people are upset, but in the end, I highly recommend you play Mass Effect 3, because even if you think you've had it spoiled, you really haven't, because the entire game is the spoiler. It's the ending.
Cool. So, well, that's good to know.
Yeah, so I'll get through Mass Effect 2 eventually. Of course, I got a lot on my plate. I haven't even touched Watch Dogs 2, really, because I'm going to focus on Dishonored 2, and then I really am just hyping myself up for Final Fantasy 15, and it's getting even worse. But
yeah.
Before we jump into anything like that, what are you playing?
Yeah, Final Fantasy 15 is, let's see, we're recording on Sunday afternoon, so it's like 36 hours away, basically, till that game unlocks, for those of you who have it digitally digitally, or if you're going to go wait.
I'm downloading it now, actually.
Yeah, so that's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to that, too. Just so you guys know, as a little preview, you listeners, next week we're going to be doing basically our first impressions of the game, and I was going to talk about this later, but I might as well mention it now. Since it's our Final Fantasy 15 special episode, it won't be totally a review. I highly doubt either one of us will have finished the game by then. We have jobs and families, and we don't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
But we're actually going to have a special guest join us for that one. You'll find out next week who that is, a member of our community who we all know and love. And so, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to talk about Final Fantasy 15 next week. Of course, open to input from you listeners as well. So if you want to send us an email, fathersofthegrind@gmail.com, or just get on our Facebook group and send me a message or make a post. Love to get your Final Fantasy 15 thoughts for next week as well. All right, so you mentioned Watch Dogs 2. That's exactly what I've been playing all Thanksgiving week. That's how I spent pretty much my entire week off. Back to work tomorrow, but I was off from Tuesday through today, essentially. And we did have family in to visit, but it was my mother-in-law, and so she would head to bed a little earlier. She's East Coast time, and so she was ready to go to bed about 9 o'clock most nights. And my wife was pretty tired from cooking and cleaning and hosting, and so she would go to bed a little earlier than usual. So I had a little more gaming time than usual this past week, and so I was able to just essentially just sit there and play a lot of Watch Dogs 2, and I loved that game. So I finished it. I just actually finished it yesterday afternoon, and Watch Dogs 2 is amazing. I think it's one of the best games this year. I think it gets a bad rap for its millennial theme or dialogue, whatever. I actually think they nail the characters, and I really like all the characters. I love the lead, Marcus Holloway, also known as Retro. Characters like Wrench and Sitara, this kid named Josh, who's kind of an introvert, but he has some really funny lines. There's another character from Watch Dogs 1 who comes back into, he's a major player in Watch Dogs 2, but I won't say who it is. And so there's some really cool moments there. There's even a few throwbacks to Watch Dogs 1. They'll talk about Aiden Pierce. There's even one side mission where you get to kind of help in a certain way. So it's really interesting the way they kind of connect it. But it's a totally separate story. It's very much about, you know, these young hackers taking down the corrupt, there it is, the corrupt businesses that kind of control your information, control your data, and use it to market to you, to convince you to vote a certain way. And so it's kind of what you expect from this type of a game, but it's so much fun. I haven't had this much fun in an open world game in a while, probably since The Witcher 3. And so, yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. I thought the mission variety, some of the best. I mean, other than Grand Theft Auto 5, probably not this much mission variety in an open world game. And it helps that you've got all these drones you can use, this little RC car that can zip around and hide and distract people and unlock stuff. And if you, you know, pull him up to computers, he can, this little arm comes out of the little RC drone, and he'll actually plug into the computer and attach a USB port and get you the data you need without you ever having to go into the fort or into the base. So it's really, really cool. The quadcopter's cool too. You can kind of use that to scan and mark everybody so you see where everybody is. You can use that to attack, basically using the environment. So it's a lot of fun. I had a ton of fun with that game, and I thought the story was decent. And I think those of us in our age bracket, kind of that younger Gen X, and then those of us who are older as well, it's easy for us to look and scoff at the millennial generation. You know, they're very colorful and kind of almost annoying at times, just looking from the outside in. But Ubisoft really nailed some likable characters here, regardless of the generation or the way they dress, whatever else. It's just kind of a modern setting with modern young people, and it's really cool. I really enjoyed it. So I highly recommend Watch Dogs 2. You'll be hearing me talk about it more when we talk about Game of the Year in a couple weeks. So,
well, I think I'll give it a shot since I'm the one that paid for it.
Yeah, you should. Kind of like I bought Fallout, but never played it. I bought Fallout 4, never played it, but you did.
I know.
Yeah. We just gifted each other.
I'm still
going
to continue to play it too. So, So, the only thing I would add is I'm actually dusting off my Wii U. I don't know if it's just a nostalgia feel right now, but I have this desire to play Nintendo stuff, so I actually dusted off the Wii U. Got Mario Kart 8 out. I've got Mario 3D World. I bought Mario Maker for my daughter Emily. She's real excited. She likes building levels and stuff. She's really into Minecraft, so I said, hey, I've got this now, so if she wants to play it, she's got that. I don't know if I'll play that one as much, but I'm definitely in the mood for like Mario Kart 8, Mario 3D World, and I just bought digitally, because I had sold my hard copy of it, I bought Twilight Princess because it was on sale.
What about Xenoblade Chronicles X that you never really got into?
Yeah, I'm gonna maybe play that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I still have Tokyo Mirage, which I would actually rather play that than Xenoblade.
Gotcha.
Xenoblade is like a Japanese version of The Witcher 3. And that makes it not as good because it's Japanese and I'm racist. But I it's just so overwhelming. It's huge.
It's like a big commitment. Witcher 3 is a big commitment to jump into. Yeah.
Exactly. But Witcher 3 was one that I was willing to commit to because it was a new release and I had a strong desire to play it. And while I had that for Xenoblade, it also came out around the time, because it came out last December, so it came out right after all the big November games hit. Fallout 4, all those games released, and here's Xenoblade coming in. And so I didn't really even invest any time. So at some point I will. I actually I have my Xbox One external drive, and I don't use it for my Xbox One anymore because I have the Gears one that has 2 terabytes of internal drive, so I'd rather have that and not even bother with the external. So I actually plugged that into my Wii U today, and I'm downloading everything I've bought. Praise the Lord. Finally, I'll be able to play Xenoblade without it crashing. And I'll have all my Zelda games downloaded. That means I can stare at the menu screen whenever I want. So, yeah, I the way I've got it set up, because I've got it on my 4K TV, all I have to do to play it is switch out the HDMI port with the TV one, or with my cable box. So it's not a huge inconvenience like it was before. That's why I wasn't playing it. It wasn't really hooked up. And now I've got it all set up where it's
nice.
If I feel like playing, I can play it.
Nice. Yeah, no, you just mentioned 4K TV, so I wanted to let you know I did actually pull the trigger and purchased a Samsung 4K. Yeah, so I pulled the trigger last night, actually, so I should be able to go pick it up on Wednesday from Best Buy. They had an equivalent deal to Dell, and I get the points for being, you know, the My Best Buy customer member, whatever. So yeah. I'm going to get that on Wednesday. That doesn't mean that I'm guaranteed to get both a Pro and an S, but I'm assuming at one point I won't be able to hold out any longer. I'll have to get one of them to see the true 4K gaming at some point. So,
see,
and
the
deals on them
are
fantastic, especially for the S. So I'll get there. I will get there. But for right now, I'm just happy to have a new TV. The TV that I have now, it's been serviceable. It's been fine. But I think this is going to be such an upgrade because I have an old Samsung. This thing weighs a ton. And the screen's pretty clear. It works
pretty
well.
What I was going
to
tell you.
Up here, but yeah, I'm excited for 4K.
If I would have known you were gonna sell, or if I would have known you were gonna definitely pull the trigger, I would have told you last Wednesday. I think it was Tuesday and Wednesday. GameStop was actually giving you 50% bonus on consoles. They never, just so you know, they never do percentages on consoles. They have a flat rate and they never adjust it. So what they did is they dropped the flat rate just a little bit. They didn't drop it, you know, where it just made it the same. They dropped it just a little bit, and then they were giving you 50% bump up. So if the console was worth $120, you got $180 for it.
Yeah, nice. That's not bad.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, you could have.
Yes, I'm not sure how I'll do the upgrade yet. I think I'm going to tackle that later. Whether I sell it to a friend or sell it online or try to trade in, I'm not sure yet how I'm going to do that. I did upgrade my PS4. Hard drive to the 2 terabyte, and so I'll have to do some work to make sure I get a 500 put back in there if I'm going to trade it in. I can't trade it in with
that's
a 2 terabyte.
That's true. That's one of the reasons why I didn't trade in my original one that I had the 2 terabyte hard drive, because I bought like a big hard drive, one that doesn't actually fit the PS4, and then use the I don't know what it's called anymore, the Nyko like HD hard drive installer or whatever. Anyways, it allows you to buy cheaper, bigger hard drives to put in your PS4. I don't think it works on my Pro, and I don't even want to open up my Pro and try it. So I just left it in there. That means I can't trade it into GameStop because it's modified. So I just decided to, hopefully Jesus won't get mad at me for announcing this, but I'm just going to give it to my church. And I'm just gonna use it for the youth group.
That's good.
A free 1080. Yeah, they get a free 1080p TV, and so it's just sitting in the youth room. And I'm like, well, I have this extra PS4. I'll just bring it in, and then whenever I want to bring VR in and let the girls play with the VR and some of the younger kids play with VR, they'll have the PS4 set up. So it'll be pretty cool.
Nice. That's good. Yeah, I'm not sure what I'll do with that yet. I think based on what we're talking about and based on what I've seen, the fact that I didn't do any modifications to my Xbox One, I think I'm much more likely to upgrade to an S in the near future. Plus, the bundle prices for the S are astronomically better than the Pro right now, at least. So I'm much more likely to upgrade to an S than I am to a Pro in the near future, but we'll see. I haven't decided exactly how that's going to play out. Plus, we also have the Switch around
the
corner.
We're going to have conversations about that because... And you know I'm not a Sony pony, but I think the Pro is easily... It depends on what you put more weight on. If you're like, look, I really, really want ultra-high-def disc movies, then of course the Xbox One S is the one to go with because you're putting more weight on movies, and that you have right there. But if you bought this TV because you're like, yeah, we'll watch shows and everything, but I don't care about the 4K and the shows, I care about the 4K and the games, then it's quite obvious what you need to do, and that's get a PS4.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk about
that. That's good to know. Other holiday purchases, I did end up tracking down a $99 new Nintendo 3DS. Walmart eventually put them back up for... They put them back up for pre-order on their website. I didn't actually go to the store to look for one. I was too scared. So what I did was I just kept refreshing all the websites, Walmart, Target, Best Buy, even Amazon, just seeing what I could find. And eventually Walmart had it marked as sold out, and then eventually it marked as pre-order. And so you could get it at that price, and then they promised it by December 16th. So I did get one of those, and I'm excited for that. I'm going to get all my boys. Their Pokemon games have already come in, and then next up is to buy them each their own 2DS. So Christmas is coming together. So we're actually going to talk about Christmas gifts here in a little bit. So be thinking about gifts you got as a kid. I'm excited to be on the parent side of this now, to buy presents for my kids, knowing that I know what they want, and I've already told them I'm not going to get you everything that you've listed here, but I'm excited to get them some of this stuff. They aren't expecting their own systems. They're expecting maybe, you know, one copy of Pokemon they can all take turns and share on one 3DS. Like, they're not really expecting brand new systems. So I'm really excited to be on this side of the Christmas surprise this year. I'm really excited for that. So we're going to talk
gonna
a little
bit
about ours. Yeah.
The same Pokemon game. Like, you know how they have Sun and Moon? Are you going to buy them all just Sun? Or are you going to buy maybe two of them Sun, two of them Moon?
Two Sun and two Moon. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. And so, and I'll get myself a digital copy on my new Nintendo 3DS. My oldest son selected, I gave him a choice between a new 2DS, or he could have my hand-me-down 3DS XL, and he'd much prefer to have the 3DS XL. He loves that thing. So anyway, so Christmas is coming together, and we're going to talk about our past with Christmas as kids here in a few minutes. But before we do that, oh, one other game I'm playing a little bit, I just barely scratched the surface of it, was ReCore. That was $15 on sale on the Microsoft Store website. So, and I know it was, I think, $20 if you actually looked in the Xbox Live Store. But on the Microsoft Store website, it was down to $15, which was an incredible deal.
For digital or hard copy?
It was for digital. It was for digital. So I ordered ReCore and Gears of War 4 combined for $45 on the Microsoft Store.
That's a good deal.
So it was a good deal. So I played ReCore for not very long. I got booted off the TV shortly after I fired it up. But it's very cool. Visually already, I can tell it's a better looking game than what I was told, you know, based on reviews and stuff. So it looks pretty cool. It's got kind of a charming aesthetic to it. It kind of reminds me of the opening scene of Star Wars Episode 7 when you've got, or opening couple scenes, when you got Rey out in the desert, you know, and she's collecting technology and stuff. It's kind of got that same vibe to it. And then I did a couple of battles where you're running around shooting. It does have auto aim, like an auto lock on, which so far in the opening level made the game super easy. But it didn't mean it's not going to be fun. So I'm looking forward to playing that some more. That might be a nice kind of lightweight game in between Watch Dogs 2 and Final Fantasy 15. So I'll play that for a little bit.
Yeah, I liked it. I just didn't play it a lot. So it'll be something I'll have to go back to.
Yeah, I want to make sure I'm trying to give most games from 2016 at least a try if I can. So when we do get into our Game of the Year conversations, even if I have to say, hey, I can't rank this one, but I can tell you my experience with it, I'm trying to experience all of them at least a tiny bit if I can. It'll be impossible for all of them. Like XCOM 2 is a game that I won't be able to try at all. I don't have access to it, but I also don't have time to give it a shot. But I do plan on trying out Dishonored 2 and Gears of War 4 at least for an hour or two each, just so I have a taste of each one before we start picking our games of the year. But
yeah, and we've also, you know, the way we're doing the awards, and one of our awards is best 2015 game that you played in 2016.
Right.
Because
yep.
I've already said it on the show, there's been several games I've played. Like, I played a little bit of it in 2015, but I didn't get into it until I played in 2016 and then actually finished those games. And I would have easily put them in my top 10 and maybe even top 5 for some of them.
Yeah, like Metal Gear Solid 5, I think, for you was one of those this year that you went back to and you're like,
yeah, I mean, last year was loaded, so to say, oh, it would have been top 3. But this year, it's probably my top 5 favorite games I played this year, except it can't count for this year. But it will be on my list for best games that I played from 2015 in 2016. So we'll do the same thing as long as our podcast keeps going. Because the reality is, I play a lot of games, but sometimes I'm just not in the mood for it.
Yep.
And that's why I'm not putting a lot of pressure on Watch Dogs 2. I put it in. I won't go online and say it sucks. I've yet to say that. I've just said that it's not what I wanted, but I loved the first one. So I like the dark, serious tone, whereas now San Francisco's this lighthearted, colorful, you know, the cast of characters are also the same way, very colorful, very young, I should say. I guess I'm getting old. And so I was like, nah, not really in the mood for this. I'd rather focus on Dishonored 2 and other games. But I guarantee
the tone of
I'll
Watch Dogs
2 year.
Is much more akin to Grand Theft Auto 5 than it is to Watch Dogs 1.
That's why I thought I would like it, because after I played Grand Theft Auto 5, I was like, I like Grand Theft Auto 5 now, so this game I'll like. So I'll probably play it next year, and I'll probably be like, yeah, I wish I would have played it. It would be top 10, blah, blah, blah.
No, but tell you what, I already did Watch Dogs 2. I've played it completely. I did almost all the side missions. But you do Dishonored 2, and that'll let me kind of skip one game for this year. And that way, when we talk Game of the Year, you can give a slowdown on Dishonored 2, which I will, just like you with Watch Dogs 2, I'll get to it, but I just don't see it happening before.
I think what we should do, and I know there's only two of us, is last year when we started the show, I had my top 10, you had your top 10. But what we need to do is create a combination top 10. So we can have our own. That's fine. But then we need to talk it through and be like, no, Dishonored 2 is badass. I don't care that you didn't play it. It needs to be top 5. Like, that's the type of conversations we should have. And then you
That'll
would
be
like, but Watch Dogs 2 is amazing. And I'll be like, no, it's trash. And then we can just fight.
Yeah, that'll be fun. People can't wait to hear it. That'll be good. All right, so speaking of Game of the Year voting, that's going to begin this week. So, Derek, you and I, of course, can add our votes, but we are going to be just, each of us are just going to have one vote in the entire community. So whether we have 10 people vote or 100 of you that are listening like to get on there and vote, we're going to have a Game of the Year awards series of episodes starting on December, I guess it'd be 12th. There's going to be 3 episodes in a row that are all Game of the Year focused. And so far, we have put together, let's see, there's 7 and then 10. There's somewhere in the range of 20 categories. And so that's how we're going to split it up over 3 episodes. And of course, the final episode will have things like Game of the Year, Overall Game of the Year, PlayStation 4 Exclusive of the Year, and so on and so forth. But then we have some subcategories that'll be kind of fun. Things like Best Protagonist or Best Villain, Best Music, Best DLC or Add-on. We do have Best Menu Screen. We'll give out an award for the TGT award. We'll have a few of those. Yeah. So that's trash, garbage, trash. For overall worst game, for most disappointing game, most overrated game, things like that. So I'm looking forward to those. That'll be a lot of fun. But all that's going to be, it's all going to hinge on the community voting. So here's what we're going to do. This is something I just decided without checking with Derek. So we'll find out what he thinks about it in a second. But I want to not only get your guys' opinions, I want to get all the listeners to chime in on their thoughts. And some of you, maybe you would say, hey, I've only had time and money to pay for to play one game from 2016. That's totally fine. Get on there and choose that as your game of the year. That's fine. I want all the votes we can get for as many categories as we can get. And even if that means you can only get on there and say, hey, I only played Fire Emblem Fates this year. That's the only new game I played. Awesome. If you liked it, select it as your game of the year and give it some points. So if you do that, if you log on to this survey that you'll start seeing on our website, fathersofthegrind.com, or in our Facebook group sometime this week, I'll be putting those links up. Get on there and do that. Make sure you include your name and your email address on the survey. There's going to be a spot for that. And then you'll be entered for a drawing. So that's the plan. And once we draw names during those episodes, you might win one of a handful of prizes that Derek and I have yet to decide on. But it's likely going to be something in the gift card realm. So if you're an Xbox
that's
gamer.
Easiest way to give somebody a gift is just buy him a code.
Yep. So you'll get some sort of code, and I think we'll do like a first, second, and third place type of a drawing. So if you want to be entered for that, that'd be great. But more importantly, we want your votes. We want to have as comprehensive a Game of the Year award selection as possible. So we need your help with that. There's going to be 2 short surveys. It'll be very easy, very straightforward. And again, most of it's going to – the only thing you have to select is one overall Game of the Year. All the other categories are optional.
There's just going to be 2 questions on the survey. Do you like Tim? Do you like Derek?
Yeah. Just is that yes or no, or is it like a scale of 1 to 10?
I mean, you can put whatever you want.
You know, it's funny. I'm using SurveyMonkey for these surveys, and I could actually create a ranking thing. So I could say, who's better, Derek or Tim? And they can kind of rank us 1 and 2.
Oh, come on. I already know I'll get destroyed. Everybody loves the hate on me, so I'll get destroyed. I'm like, oh, Derek's trash.
Yeah, they
blah,
might love
blah,
to hate
blah.
On you,
they
but
all
let's
know
be honest. If
they all love me.
If one of us missed an episode, if it were just me doing an episode, like, hey, guys, I'm just going to get on here and talk for like 20 minutes, no one would listen. But if it was you getting on there just dogging and trashing on things for 20 minutes, people would listen so they can yell at you. So they might dog and trash on you, but you make the show interesting. All right. So that's it for voting. You guys will see more stuff about that coming out if you're in our Facebook group, and we'll also talk about it again next week. Be sure to just email us if you have any questions about that.
Yeah, I'm real excited. I can't wait for December shows. I'm real excited about it.
Yeah, I am. I'm excited too. We were on NGI Radio last week, which is a show on the DNA Network. If you go to the YouTube and search for DNA Network or search for NGR Radio, you'll be able to find the episode where we joined Corey and Matt for a chat about video games. And actually, our chat went all over the place. We followed a whole bunch of rabbit trails. But we were able to guest on that show. But go support those guys. Go give that show a view and a like. Maybe subscribe to their channel. Go check them out. They're good guys. Next week, we already talked about this, will be our Final Fantasy 15 show. And lastly, speaking of Final Fantasy 15, our friends, Mark Allen, Clayton Pace, and Daniel Freitas. I almost said Fritos, but I want to be nice. These guys are starting up a podcast with a number of other people as well, I think. And I think Daniel and his friend did the first episode.
Fritos.
And it's called the Choke Bros. So you can find them on Facebook if you search for the group, or on YouTube. You can find the Choco Bros, and they are going to basically be doing a Final Fantasy-centric podcast and vodcast, too. So it'll be video, I believe, as well in the near future. So there you go. Go check out the Choco Bros. Give them your support. That's it. That's all the housekeeping type stuff I've got, unless I'm forgetting something that you're thinking of.
No, the only thing I wanted to add is if you go check out that NGR radio show, Matt and I agreed that Incubus sucks, and it upset Tim.
Yeah, that was quite a conversation.
I'm very happy about that. So I just want to make sure everybody knows Incubus sucks, and if you like Incubus, you are TGT, and you need
it. It did really annoy me because
now this I made a joke, but somebody's going to actually leave the group.
It's true. No, I actually I made a comment about how good Incubus is, like how just amazing they are, and then at the same moment, Matt and Derek burst out laughing as soon as I said it. Like, so it was actually a pretty funny moment, but I was, of course, in the moment like, hey, that's not nice. You know, I didn't like that. But
I love that band.
I like those guys. Them. They mean a lot to me. But no, that was actually a really fun conversation. And now Corey joined us late because he had a family dinner thing going on. But Corey and Matt are good guys. We also, after Derek left, he had to go a little early. We played 20 questions as well. So if you guys listen to Game Scoop, and you listen to 20 questions, very similar style thing where Corey had a game and then Matt and I had to ask 20 questions on our way to guessing it. And I won't tell you whether or not we got it. You'll have to go watch if you want to see. All right. That's it. That's all I got for right now. I've got one main topic question for you, and then we're going to wrap this thing up, give people a little bit of a shorter episode this week because we're about to have several long episodes, I think, in the near future.
I don't see how we can make this next month short.
No, it's going to be a lot of long episodes. I mean, I would say an hour minimum for each of them. So for this week, based on the timing, we're recording Sunday afternoon. We both had a lot of family and holiday things happening. So the timing of this recording is a little unique for us, which is why I'm actually standing to record today. That's why you see the Penn State thing in the background. I'm in my two oldest boys' room, and I'm kind of at this weird standing desk area they have kind of near their bunk bed. So my feet are tired. I need to go sit down. I sit for a living, and I'm already tired from standing. So anyway, let's talk about Christmas presents. We just talked a little bit about, like, I, for instance, bought myself a anniversary and Christmas present combined in buying that TV recently. And so my wife and I talked about the budget for it, and I picked it out. That was a very happy Christmas present for me. But it's been years since I remember going into Christmas morning not sure what I was going to get, and that excitement of opening up that present and being like, this is the game I wanted, or this is the system, or whatever that thing was. And so I started to think back on my years of Christmas mornings when I got those video games that either I wanted or didn't even ask for, but they were just a surprise. So I was going to ask you, and I don't know if you have any off the top of your head that you want to share, but what kind of presents did you get as a kid that were video game related that really stick out to you as either really great or for some reason really bad and hilarious? What was your Christmas like in terms of video games as a kid?
Well, I mean, my parents weren't like how I am. Like, for instance, my kids hardly even ask for video games because they own everything.
Spoiled.
But I remember when I was younger, that was always the top of my list. I've always been a big gamer. And so I'd always ask for, like, you know, an NHL game or a football game or I remember one Christmas in particular. I don't know why, because I didn't have access to you know, game media like I do now, but I would get like those EGMs and GamePro. And I remember them doing previews, and maybe the, I don't know the exact release date of the original game, but I think I even saw a couple reviews on the original Twisted Metal. And I kept reading about it, and I became almost obsessed about this game, even though I'd never played it, and it was kind of outside of what I would normally ask for. Because again, most of the time I'd ask for sports games. And I was like, I want this game. And I became obsessed like I was like with Mortal Kombat. And I remember the Christmas, that whatever year it came out, don't remember, my mom actually bought this game for me. And it was the original Twisted Metal for my PlayStation. And I remember the first time I played it in and put it in and just started playing it, and I was just blown away. I played it all day long. And then I would go over to my friend's house, and we would put old school Collective Soul on and live, and we would just play that game all day long. We would just switch off, and just, we were trying to beat the game with every single character. So that's one of my biggest memories. I'm sure I have other ones. I remember getting NHL games and just playing them for hours and hours. But the biggest one that I remember on Christmas, because most of my consoles I got, like my PlayStation and stuff like that, that was done on my birthday. But for Christmas, Twisted Metal is the game that stuck out as like, oh, I got it. And it was everything I wanted. It's still my favorite Twisted Metal to this day.
That's pretty awesome. Now, was that something that when you think of playing Twisted Metal, do you kind of go back to that Christmas vacation year when you were playing with your buddy after getting it? Was that, is that a memory that triggers for you when you think of Twisted Metal?
Yeah, it triggers from that, but it also triggers from music. Like, I go back all the time and I listen to some bands that I used to love, and I'll put the music on, like maybe a specific CD, and that song or that CD will take me back to memories. You know, like, I was a big Jars of Clay fan, and so we would put on the Jars of Clay's first album, we would put that on, and we would just hang out and play games and talk about girls that we like. And so anytime I put that album on, it's that reminder of that life, like how we lived, what we were doing, what we were playing. And so, yeah, Twisted Metal, and that's why I think in the beginning of the show when I talked about Nintendo, I think that's why I wanted to play Nintendo. I think it's this time of year. Is probably going back, if you look at my past gaming history, I'm sure God has a record of it, and he's probably like, yeah, December Derek likes to play Nintendo games. I get this like feeling like I'm like, I wanna play Nintendo games. Yeah. And by the time January comes, I'll probably be like, I hate Nintendo again or something. But it's that feeling. I think your brain remembers things that you don't realize were happening in the past. And so I think music sparks that. I think weather for me sparks that. Those type of things, the time of year sparks it, that like I'm like, oh, I want to play this, I want to do this. So yeah, I definitely get the nostalgia when I put that game in. And I'll still, every once in a while, I don't do it as often, but I would, when I was frequent on my PS3, I would put Twisted Metal on just to play it for a little bit. I wouldn't play it as much as I used to, but just that nostalgia.
Yep. No, that makes sense. I actually had a, so my older brother got a Game Boy before I did. And we would travel a lot. We were missionaries when I was a kid. And my older brother had the Game Boy and I had nothing. I think I had a couple of those little, just the little one-off handheld games, you know, that have like one little game on it. But I didn't have a Game Boy and he did. And I remember asking for one, but assuming I wouldn't get one because I knew they were expensive. And so there was a Christmas, I was probably like 10 or so, and I remember opening up a present, and it was the Game Boy game Speedy Gonzales, which, first of all, may or may not be a racist game. I'm not 100% sure about that. But I got the game Speedy Gonzales, and I remember being excited, but then thinking, this is great. I have a game that can only be played on my brother's console. This is dumb. Like, I have to ask him permission to play my game forever. And so my parents were laughing because I was excited but also upset. And I remember they handed me the next box. They had given it to me out of order by accident, I think. And, of course, got my own Game Boy, and that's where I first owned my own console of any kind. And so it was awesome. I was able to start collecting games. And I remember that very specifically because I played that we were visiting family for that Christmas, and I played that nonstop at their house, nonstop all the way home, and then nonstop when we got home. Went through so many batteries, so many AA batteries came and went from that because of that system. But that one sticks out at me, sticks out to me. And then for the years that followed, whenever I asked for a game, like I think of Super Nintendo. So my brother and I actually saved up and bought that together. I don't think we got that for Christmas or anything. We actually saved up our money and, you know, did chores and mowed lawns and all that and bought it together. But then we did get games for Christmas in the years that followed. So I remember for a little while there, my parents were really nervous. I think they must have heard some preacher talk against the, you know, role-playing games or whatever. Something happened and they were a little bit opposed to those games for a while. So they wouldn't get me anything that looked like it had too much magic in it. But they were okay with Disney games. And so we would almost always get, or Star Wars too, they were okay with for some reason. And so we would get all these platforming games like Aladdin or Lion King, Super Star Wars, Super Empire Strikes Back. We would get those games. Those games were okay. And I liked those. I remember like Christmas morning for me as a kid, firing up the Super Nintendo and playing some of these old classic side-scrolling platformers. To me, they were awesome. They were magical. I had no internet or critics to sit there and tell me how weak they are compared to the better platformers out there. I just enjoyed them because they were the games that I had. I didn't have that cynical mindset that many of us have now. I just enjoyed them. Like looking back on those games now, I still feel like they're good, even if they're not. I don't know. But then as I got a little older, got games like Star Wars Shadows of the Empire for the N64, which is by most accounts not a good game, but I put so many hours into that game. I beat it several times. I loved that game. And so that's the kind of thing that happened when you were a kid. You would get the game that you would get, and then that's all you would play because that's all you had. And as the years went on, I started to get better and better games for gifts because I knew what to ask for, things like Chrono Cross or Final Fantasy X or Final Fantasy X. I would get those over the years too. But when I think about Christmas and video games as a kid, I usually think it has to be parent approved. That's really what it was. They had to be okay with it. They really relied on those little ratings. If it said E, or I think it actually said something, maybe it had the letter Y. Back in the day, it had a different rating system, I feel like. But anyway, they had to approve it. They had to make sure that none of the parenting magazines they read disapproved of this game before they got it for me. So anyway, I'm looking forward to being on the other side of that now. As I've, you know, my kids are about to get their own 2DSs. Each one's going to come with a copy of Mario Kart 7. And then they're going to each get a copy of Pokemon Sun or Moon. So they're about to have a fantastic Christmas. So I'm excited to be on this side of it now. And hopefully, you know, in 10, 15, 20 years, they look back and are just as excited as, just as nostalgic as I am thinking back on it. But so anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we're actually surprising. I don't know if we decided if it's going to go to one of the boys, but or both of them. But we're getting them the new 3DS. We got one of them. The $100 one, the one you got. And then they won a bunch of Lego games, which I hate Lego games, but Eli is, like, obsessed with them. Like, he's already beat Marvel Lego, and then I bought him, like, a week and a half ago, I bought him Batman. He beat that in less than a week. And right now, all he does is go over there when he's gaming and unlock characters. So now he's, like, itching for a new one. So I'll probably get him the Avengers game or something like that. So there's stuff I can still buy them that's outside of what I would buy. But in general, they have most of the stuff. And I won't buy Pokemon because that's trash.
I do think the Lego games get a bad rap, though. I think they're, especially for kids, I think they're the perfect action-adventure starting type of a game for kids. Because it's so simple. You destroy everything. You collect Lego pieces. There's puzzles, but they're so simple. It's like, oh, you very clearly have to have a character with this power to unlock this door. So I think they do a great job with those games. Do I think they're great for us, the experienced gamers? No, but I think they are fantastic games for kids. So I think the Lego games are, that's a good pick for the kiddos.
Yeah, Eli loves them, and I may even get the Lego Dimensions. He's really wanting that now, whereas before he was like, no, I don't want that. I'm like, but you love Lego. Why would you not want one that actually has like a bunch of different Lego games built into it? And he's like, no, I don't want it. But now
you know what game I got really close to pulling the trigger on? I thought about maybe getting one copy and letting them share it, but I'm curious about Mario Maker 3D because that's coming out in the 3DS, I think, this coming week or next week maybe.
December 2nd, I think.
That intrigues me. I know that it's going to be... It's got less functionality than the Wii U version, and I think we might have talked about this, how it's going to have less online functionality, but it's going to come with all the built-in tools to create your levels, and to you can play the your own levels that you build. So I've thought about maybe getting one copy and letting the boys share it, where they can all just create levels and then play each other's levels. I might. But anyway, I digress.
I would do that.
What's that?
As long as you're just buying one copy. Would do that, just buying one copy. In fact, I might do that now that I'm getting them a 3DS. Even though this is so stupid, I've owned 3DSs before, and they never use them. Now they're like, I want a 3DS. I'm like, oh, gosh, so dumb. Just sold mine, you idiots.
Yeah. The one thing I do run into, and I don't know if you hit this too, is sometimes our kids prove to us that they don't take care of even the little things we get them. And so I'm nervous about getting them each their own, you know, higher quality electronics device, you know, especially when I think towards middle school and high school, you know, things like phones and whatever else. So this will be a good test for them. I mean, their ages range from 5 to 9, so they're still quite young. That's why the 2DS is perfect for them. So we'll see how they take care of them this time around. I did get them old DS Lights back in the day. And I remember this was 2 Christmases ago. So one of the twins, he had just turned 4, and he decided that the best place to play this new DS system of his was in the bathroom, which I don't disagree with him inherently. But when you drop it in the toilet right after going, it doesn't work as well as you might think. So we dried that thing out. We tried doing everything we could to fix it, you know, and it didn't work anymore. It was dead. So hopefully that doesn't happen this time around. All right. Well, that's it. That's all I got. I'm looking forward to Christmas time. I'm really looking forward to Game of the Year discussions with you and debates. It sounds like we might have some debates on our hands, which will be a lot of fun. So for those of you who are listening, make sure you either email us at fathersofthegrind@gmail.com with your thoughts on either Final Fantasy 15, or if you want to contribute to Game of the Year. You can also find those links for those surveys on our website and in our Facebook group. They'll be up sometime this week. And that's pretty much it. That's all I got.
And if we want you to vote, we want you to be a part of it. But also, like, if you're real passionate about a game, like maybe you know, because, you know, I'm pretty vocal in the group and so is Tim. If you know we don't care about a game that you care about more, write, you know, a paragraph on why you love it. Share why we should consider this game or something like that.
Oh yeah, I like that idea.
Because we want to give you a voice whenever we do these awards. So
yeah, I like that idea. Actually, I would also accept any audio entries. We did this a little while ago
when
we
had
some people submit audio stuff.
Audio would probably be easier.
Yeah, audio would be great. And you can email that to me, fathersofthegrind@gmail.com, or Facebook message me. However you want to get it to me is fine. You can just share it in Google Drive. That's probably the simplest way to do it. And we'll include your audio there too. I like that idea. Take 30 to 60 seconds or whatever it is to make a case for your game of the year. That'd be really cool. All right, well, that does it for episode 47. Derek, thanks for joining me this time. I know the timing was kind of off. Hopefully next week we'll get back into the groove. So make sure you guys tune in next time with our special guest
next
as we talk
will be
Final Fantasy
all
15.
All about Final Fantasy 15. So if you're at all excited about that game like I am, we're going to have lots of discussion about that.
That's right. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you soon.
Peace.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?